D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, right before we gave you a call, the news broke, courtesy of Adam Schefter, that the Baltimore Ravens have fired John Harbaugh after 18 seasons as their head coach. And we know that a lot of teams now are immediately putting John Harbaugh at the top of the list. Derek believes that Harbaugh would best be served by taking a year off. But I'm wondering, with all of the openings in the league now, there are six others, minus Baltimore, of course. Do you think the Tennessee Titans job would be enticing to John Harbaugh?
I think it would. They have a quarterback who's the first pick in the draft, who over the last month of the season or so really started to come on, even though the team around him was not good enough to really support him much. I think, you know, with a high draft pick this year, they have a chance to stock up talent. They have, I think, the highest, the most cap space of any team in the NFL. So I think this is a team that could be built from. There are a lot of needs on this roster, but there are also a lot of good pieces to build around on both sides of the ball, especially on offense, but on defense with Jeff Simmons. And, you know, there's some good pieces to build around there. I don't see why this wouldn't be a great destination for any head coaching candidate. I think the question would be for them as they interview the team, because a guy like John Harbaugh wouldn't just be interviewing, trying to sell the team to hire him. Every team that he interviews with would have to sell him on your question, Adam. Why should he want to come to us? And I think he'd just need to make sure that he's in alignment with the Titans ownership and front office, and make sure that all that cap space they intend to allocate and not just save. But I think that John Harbaugh coming over to Tennessee, I think it would be something he should absolutely consider.
So, Trevor, I'm going to put you in the laboratory for a minute. Imagine there's a machine where you can build the perfect head coach for the Tennessee Titans based on the qualities of that coach. That coach can be defensive-oriented, offensive-oriented, the alpha-type, leader-of-men type. If you are building what you believe is the best possible coaching candidate from the ground up for the Tennessee Titans, what qualities are you putting in there?
Well, that being the case, John Harbaugh would not be on he wouldn't qualify for the first one, Adam, because I think the first one is that he be able to get the most out of Cam Ward. This is Cam Ward's franchise to win with or lose with for the foreseeable future. And I think the best thing the Titans can do is, all other things being equal, bring in an offensive-minded head coach. Because the last thing you want is for a defensive-minded head coach to have a great offensive coordinator who gets good results from Cam Ward and then goes on to be a head coach somewhere else. Your head coach is unlikely to go be a head coach somewhere else. And so your offensive system, your offensive philosophy, and your offensive guru are more likely to remain intact for a longer period of time for Cam Ward. So all else being equal, I would start there. Get a guy who can maximize Cam Ward and be here with that offensive system long-term for Cam Ward. Second thing is, it needs to be a guy who's got great leadership. And, you know, there's a lot of words thrown around in association with this head coaching job for the Titans, and one of them is accountability. One of the great things about Mike Vrabel is that you had no question who was boss. Mike Vrabel was boss. And if you crossed him and didn't perform up to his standards, there was going to be hell to pay. And that's something that I think was utterly lost with the Titans under Brian Callahan. So I think that's another thing. People think that a player's coach is a coach that's a nice guy that the players get along with. I don't see that as the definition of a player's coach. I think a player's coach, you know, let me put it this way. If I'm a player on the Titans, I think that a player's coach, from my perspective, is the one that's going to get the most out of the guy on my left and my right, because I know I'm going to give everything I've got. And so if you take Jeffrey Simmons, for example, as a leader on this team, who would he consider to be a player's coach? It would be a coach that will not allow any messing around. It will be a coach that will demand the very best in every minute of preparation and will demand that players stay focused even away from the complex so they don't create distractions for themselves or for the team. So that would be the second thing. I would want a coach that's a player's coach by definition of he will get the most out of these players, whether they like it or not. Now, after that, there's a whole lot of things that you could talk about, right? But getting the most out of Cam Ward, number one, having the offense stay consistent with Cam Ward is number two. And then right there with that is the ability to have discipline and accountability and get the most out of every individual on the team and make sure that everybody fears the head coach like they fear a drill instructor or a drill sergeant or out, you know, in the field with the military unit. They fear the sergeant more than they fear the enemy. That's where you get everybody pulling the cart in the same direction. And that's what they have lacked here recently.
Now, Trevor, now that, you know, it's coming out, and I don't think it's as beneficial yet, but that John Harbaugh will be released by the Baltimore Ravens as their head coach. Do you think that there will be some skepticism on a guy being at a franchise for so long and him just knowing that franchise, and then now after 18 years, he's back in this pool of water, and he may be, you know, at the top of just about everybody's list, but because he's been at an organization for 18 years, almost 19, could that be seen as a negative by organizations when hiring?
No, Derek, that's a great question. I think that it should be seen as a positive. Mm-hmm. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't work. And a lot of times, guys just need a change of scenery. You know, whether it's a player or a coach, a lot of times things just get stale. And it's time to move on. And you start over in a new place, taking with you the lessons that you learned at the old place. And you can go to the next level at the new place. And change sometimes just for change's sake can be beneficial. I was talking to Gary Danielson, the great college football analyst on CBS, doing SEC games and then off to the Big Ten, I think. And, you know, and he was saying that when he was in college, there was a study that was done that always stayed with him about how to jumpstart production in an office setting. And what they found in this experiment is that if they made a small change, like making the lights in the office a little bit brighter, all of a sudden for a short period of time, everybody would be more productive. But what was odd was if they also made the lights a little less bright, they had the same short-term improvement in production. It was a change that sort of made the stale paradigm a little more interesting to people. And so I think just a change of scenery for John Harbaugh, it wouldn't mean that he would bring any kind of baggage with him from Baltimore. I think a change of scenery would mean he could start fresh with everything that he was able to be successful with in Baltimore. And the truth of it is I, you know, talk about having an offensive-minded head coach, I still think that would be the best thing. I think Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, you know, I think that would be a very interesting hire for the Titans. But if they did bring in John Harbaugh, I think he would be a better head coach here than he was at Baltimore. And so I think he should be high on everybody's list.
Now, Borgonzi had his press conference today, and Adam asked, you know, what would be the headlines if we had to put a headline on it. And mine was the GM has spoken. I think he made himself assertive in his interview. It was the buck stop here, sort of speaking. I don't think we've heard sort of that kind of tone from a GM in a good while. It's always been this, well, I got to, you know, talk to this guy, and it's a collaborative effort. But it seems like with Borgonzi, it's this is my job, and I'm going to approach it as such.
Yeah, it has to be that way. And the fact that it may not have been for the last several years is a real problem with this organization having a clear direction. You know, it's like a six-year-old child who knows that his parents are not on the same page. And he goes to his dad and says, Dad, I want to have a big bucket of candy to eat. And his dad says, no, you can't have that because, you know, that's bad for it. And then he goes to mom and looks at mom with those big puppy dog eyes and says, mom, I just want some candy, and melts her heart, and she gives him candy, plays one off the other, right? Well, you can't have that. Just like you need two parents to be on the same page and present a united front to their kids, you've got to have a boss in that front office. And if there's a general manager and a team president, and then a consultant to the owner and all kinds of different people that are vying for power in the organization will bog down. And I think it's good that Borgonzi is taking that role of the buck stops with him, because that means that the discipline comes from him too. And that's important.
Trevor Maddich is with us from ESPN. If you're just joining us, the Ravens have let John Harbaugh go after 18 years as the head coach of the Ravens. So we're trying to wrap our arms around that in real time and also getting Trevor's perspective on a lot of different things. Trevor, let's flip it around. The Ravens haven't been looking for a coach for a long time. Who are the candidates for them? That's a pretty attractive job.
Yeah, that's a real attractive job. And again, I don't know what specific names, but if I'm an offensive-minded coach, I would love to go there and see what I can do with Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson is an NFL MVP in the regular season, but he hasn't had success in the postseason. And I don't know if you guys have a better perspective than I do on why that is, but I think any, you know, confident to the point of arrogance head coach, especially an offensive-minded one, who thinks that he can do better than anybody else, could take Lamar Jackson and turn that MVP in the regular season into an MVP going forward into the postseason and become a Super Bowl winner. And so I think as long as Jackson is there, I think that that would be a very attractive place for that reason alone. Now, the Ravens have a reputation of being outstanding in the front office, of building a 53-man roster that can win. But they haven't won in the playoffs in terms of making deep runs. And so that will be the big question. Who could do that? As far as individual guys, I don't know. But if I'm an offensive-minded head coach and I get a chance to coach Lamar Jackson, I'm there with bells on.
Trevor, let's switch to college real quick. You've got some big playoff games coming up Thursday and Friday. I've been in the hinterlands for a while. I may not have gotten the last few details, but how do you think Ole Miss is going to be able to sort out the whole coaching thing as they try to get to a chance for a national title? It's a really intriguing story.
Yeah, it really is, Willie. Their head coach from the regular season the last several years went off to be the head coach at LSU before the playoff. That's Lane Kiffin. He allowed the offensive coordinator and several other critical offensive assistant coaches to coach with the team at the playoff. And, you know, the offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., has just been brilliant. A lot of people think it was just Lane Kiffin's offense. That's all anybody talks about, Lane Kiffin's offense. And it is overall, but people forget that Charlie Weiss Jr. was calling the plays. And I think he relishes the opportunity to get out from under Coach Kiffin's shadow and show that, hey, he's a great offensive mind in his own right. And the thing about this game is that you've got good on good. Trinidad Chambliss, the Ole Miss quarterback, who's a transfer from Division II Ferris State, who came in at the beginning of the season to be a backup at Ole Miss, started because of an injury, and I think it was like eighth in the Heisman. Just fantastic. His performance against Georgia last week was fearless. I mean, fearless. He would drop into the pocket and let that ball rip without any hesitation at all. He would scramble around to avoid blitzers and fire the ball without any inkling that he's not quite sure what he should be doing. He was fearless, and he'll need to be against Miami because Miami's defense is better by an order of magnitude than Georgia's. Georgia's the tied for the last in the SEC with sacks. Miami's one of the best sacking teams in the nation. They don't need the blitz to get it done. And Miami's secondary is a lot better than Georgia's as well. And so I think Trinidad Chambliss is going to face the best defense that he's seen all season long. And the question is, can he continue to be fearless and fire that ball into tight windows without paying a price and having it picked off against a better unit?
Okay, real quick, Trevor, the other semifinal. Indiana, we were all just blown away at how they just dismantled Alabama. Your thoughts on their performance?
Yeah, Indiana is they don't have any weaknesses. I mean, they're just incredibly balanced. In the game, against Oregon in the regular season. Indiana won in Eugene 30-20, and it was worse than that because Oregon's offense only scored one touchdown. Their other one was a pick six by the Ducks defense. But Indiana smashed Oregon on the ground, and they stopped the Oregon run. Oregon only ran for 81 yards against Indiana that first time, even though the Ducks average over 200 on the season in rushing yards. And because Indiana excelled at getting behind the line and creating tackles for loss, creating sacks. And you would like to think that Oregon would just say, okay, we're not going to let them get penetration on defense. We're not going to let them behind the line to stop plays before they get started. But that's a wish. It's not a plan. And I think Indiana will be able to create that disruption again. I think from Oregon, you'll see a lot more activity to their tight ends. They've got two tight ends that go about 250 pounds each that are both have wide receiver skills. They combined for three catches in the first game against Indiana. They combined for eight catches against Texas Tech, and they still struggled to move the ball because Texas Tech also got a lot of disruption behind the line of Oregon. But Oregon won that game because, you know, their defense was great. So I think that in this game, Oregon is going to have to make their tight ends, Jamari Johnson and Kenyon Sadiq, the MVPs. And if you see a lot of completions early to the Oregon tight ends, that's what's going to give Oregon the best chance to beat Indiana, because Indiana just is basically flawless. And what they will need, Oregon, is mismatches. And those mismatches come from the tight ends.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donicky joins us every Tuesday and is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction to the Baltimore Ravens firing John Harbaugh and what that could mean for the Tennessee Titans, because they do happen to have a head coach opening. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.